Welcome to Digging In with the Missouri Farm Bureau. I'm Janet Atkinson, and we are joined by Paul Niefer. Of course, he's an accounting specialist who joined us a couple of times last year. Very similar as far as on the calendar goes, Paul. And I'm sorry it's been so many months since we've chatted last, but it is good timing to talk with the tax guy.
Yep. You know, we have April 15th just right around the corner. I would say probably most farmers in a typical year have already filed their return, but this year is maybe not quite as typical. There is a tax bill that's stuck in the Senate. The Senate Republicans really are not a fan of it. And I must admit, I'm not sure if I'm a fan of it either. I mean, it's sort of a put together bill that if it's going to pass, it's probably going to pass after April 15th. So there are some farmers out there that are waiting for that to happen. Matter of fact, I was talking to somebody, we're waiting to finalize our business returns until we see whether that act passes or not. So, and the primary item for farmers is the fact that they want to make 100% or bonus depreciation at the 100% level retroactive to January 1 of 2023. So that is something that for some farmers would be helpful. If they spent less than $1 million on farm equipment and they don't have any farm buildings that they bought during the year, then it probably doesn't mean anything. But there are some farmers where it's material.
Now, for those who maybe have already filed and this maybe does go through, is there something they can do to take advantage of that?
So if because there's also a change in the child tax credit, which could affect some farmers. If that applies to a farmer, the IRS supposedly is supposed to automatically issue that refund check. So they wouldn't have to do anything on that. Now, if they do pass this bonus depreciation and it would help the farmer, then they can file what's called an amended tax return. It's a fairly easy process. However, I will tell you, if you file an amended return to get a refund, it's going to take 6 months to a year before you get your money. That's just how slow the IRS is on processing any of those type of situations.
Now, if we go ahead and look forward, of course, we're in an election year. We've got who knows what's going to happen come November, but there are some things that we do know that are set on the timeline, and that is the Trump tax cuts are set to expire.
Yeah, so they're actually, we got another full year. So at the end of 2025, they expire. So let's go through some of the major changes that if they don't extend these tax cuts, how they would affect farmers. So number one is most of the tax brackets would see an increase. So the 12% bracket would become 15%. The 22 would become 25, and so on and so forth. And the top tax bracket, instead of 37%, would end up being 39.6%. So that automatically will happen as of January 1 of 2026. Now, you know, a lot of the Democrats have always said, hey, the Trump tax cuts only help the rich. Well, no, the reality is a lot of the lower income taxpayers were really benefited from the Trump tax cuts because of the fact that the child tax credit was bumped from $1,000 up to $2,000 and $1,400 if it was made refundable, even if the taxpayer didn't have any income or not enough earned income. So that also is going to drop down from the $2,000 level to the $1,000 level. The standard deduction, which right now for a married couple is almost $28,000, it will drop in half. Now, that may or may not be a negative because to offset it, the standard deduction, which probably with inflation is going to be close to a $5,000 deduction, that deduction for you, your spouse, and all of your dependents will also come back on board. So that may or may not be close to a wash. Now, for a lot of farmers, they've been able to take advantage of the Section 199 Cap A 20% farm deduction. So on their net farm income, they get a 20% deduction. Or if they deal with a cooperative, the cooperative may have pushed through a DPAD deduction. That's the domestic production activity deduction, that DPAD deduction through to them. So they potentially could have a 20-30% deduction off of their net farm income or higher in some situations. So that will also disappear starting in 2026. Now, some of the things that won't disappear, the corporate C corporation tax rate of 21%, that is permanent. The there is what's called an excess farm loss, and that excess business loss. The excess farm loss is suspended. The excess business loss was scheduled to expire after 2025. However, the Tax Act extended it for another year, and then the IRA Act passed last year extended it for two more years. So that won't expire until after 2028. And I'm sure I'm missing, there's several other items that will probably expire. Now, some of the things that'll come back, the miscellaneous itemized deductions, right now you can't deduct those. Those will come back. So let's say you have your tax prep fee. You know, you pay somebody like me $1,000 to prepare your tax return. Those type of items right now are non-deductible. Now, a farmer, perhaps they can deduct some of those, but normally non-deductible. Now, starting in 2026, if they exceed 2% of your gross income, so let's say you had $100,000 of gross income, 2% is $2,000. If those type of expenses were like $3,000, you would get to deduct $1,000. So there's plenty. Oh, and the big thing, I almost forgot the big thing, is the lifetime annual or lifetime exemption for estates. Right now, it's $13,600,000 per person. That will drop in half. So with inflation, it'll be about $7 million for a husband, $7 million for a wife. So that's $14 million combined. And we know, you know, we've seen, Janet, what's happened to land values in the last 3 or 4 years. It doesn't take a lot of land to hit, you know, those magic numbers. So, you know, even in Missouri, there's lots of farmland in Missouri, 7, 10, 15. Well, you had a 30,000, but that was a weird transaction, but you got a lot of farmland in Missouri that, you know, is in that $10,000 to $15,000 range. So, you know, it only takes 600, 700, 800 acres to hit that number.
So how can folks best prepare? You know, as I said, we're going to have an election. So if there's a change in leadership in the White House, I would assume that Trump would probably extend his own tax cuts or work to do so.
Well, it depends on if they're in charge of the Senate and the House, then yes, right, they'll be able to do it. If they're not in charge of the Senate and the House, there's nothing that Trump can really do unless they do some horse trading back and forth. Because remember, the Democrats, lots of the Trump provisions they like. They like the lower tax rates for people earning less than $400,000. They like the child tax credit. So yes, there will be some horse trading, and that's what's causing this delay on this tax act that's in the Senate right now. Is they did horse trading. You know, the Democrats granted the Republicans 3 or 4 things. The Republicans granted one thing to the Democrats. Well, it gets over to the Senate, and the Senate Republicans don't like the one thing that was granted to the Democrats because they're claiming it's basically a welfare system, which, you know, potentially it is. But so, yes, there'll be some horse trading. Right now, there's nothing. Well, the one thing I would mention for families out there that potentially the reduction in the lifetime exemption is material to their situation, they really need to be working with their estate tax advisor, whether it's the attorney or CPA or both, I would say both, and see, you know, should we be putting our farmland into some type of a trust, whether it's a SLAT, a spousal lifetime access trust, or some type of a trust. Now, we can say that the lifetime exemption amount's never ever gone down in history. You know, so will they keep it at this level? Don't know. And we really won't know that. And probably we won't know it until December of 2025, because that's when all major tax bills get passed, it seems like, is in December or January of an election year. So after the election year. So, and that's when the Trump tax cuts got put into effect, was 8 years, well, 7 years ago in 2027 or 2017.
If it comes down to it, and the lifetime exemption is something that's on the chopping block, you mentioned that it might be something where they need to talk to folks about putting some of the land, some of the property into a trust. How complicated is that process to get started and follow through?
You know, and I just went through it with my wife and I, because we had moved from Washington State, which is a community property state, over to Colorado, which is a separate property state, but we wanted to maintain our community property status. So we went through setting up a community property trust for us, and it wasn't that painful. I think the inertia is that people are like, they're hesitant to do it. And that's why I sort of like the spousal lifetime access trust, because it allows the, both the husband and wife to keep the income. You know, a lot of trusts, you have to give all the assets away, including the income. Whereas with a spousal lifetime access trust, a SLAT, you're able to retain that income. Now, if you get divorced, there's ways to get around that. If the one spouse passes away, there's ways to get around that too. So it's a little bit more complicated than maybe setting up a community property trust like I did with my wife and myself, but it's not that bad. And I think that the biggest issues I see with people not doing it is, you know, they're just, it's just that inertia. It's just, we just can't get started. So the key is to have a good conversation, especially if you got 2,000-3,000 acres of farmland in Missouri that you've paid for, you're facing an estate tax. So the quicker you act, the better off. Don't be waiting until September, October of 2025 to do this, because the attorneys are going to be swamped. You know, this is the time to do it, is right now.
That makes sense. Now, we had, going in a different direction or similar but related direction, we had a couple of folks speak at our annual meetings, December and also in February, and they really touched on the idea of estate planning, especially for these farm families. Paul, you've been in the business for quite a while. You've probably seen some pretty hefty family dynamics through this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think, Janet, you're just calling me old is what you're saying.
No, not at all. No, I'm just calling you wise.
So, yeah, I mean, I have seen, well, even in my own family, on both my mom and dad's side, you know, the lack of communication or whatever it might be. I'm a firm believer of, even if you don't do something, communicate to your kids you're not doing something, or communicate what you are doing. I definitely am a firm believer that, now I'm not saying give away stuff just to give away stuff. There's got to be a good reason to do it. But if you do something and you don't communicate it to your kids, you're just setting yourself up for them to have a fight later on, in my opinion. The more that you communicate that. And we have two types of planning. We have estate planning, which is dealing with the taxes. And then we have succession planning, which is dealing with the transfer of the farm operation over to the next generation. And that isn't purely taxes. It can include taxes, but primarily that's dealing with, you know, who's in charge, how is it going to work, you know, what's the process, how do we make it smooth? How do we have dad, mom and dad go from being the operator to having the kids be the operator, and maybe mom and dad become more the chairman of the board situation? And we know a lot of farmers, although that's changing, you know, certainly my dad retired at 72. You know, a lot of other farmers that are older, you know, they're going to retire when they finally pass away on the tractor. But I think this younger generation, the farmers in their 50s, the more I talk to them, the more it seems like they don't want to wait that long. You know, they're willing to give it up in their 60s or 70s at the latest.
And they've seen some of the trauma that's happened in the earlier generations, it seems like, as well, too.
Lessons. Oh, yeah. Well, like my family, I had two aunts, two of my uncles, and my grandmother. So, you know, it's not a fun situation.
Yeah. And if you're in agriculture, you've probably heard about those stories before in other families as well, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If somebody hasn't made any progress on trying to get the succession planning underway or estate planning underway, is there a starting point on those as well?
Yeah, there's certainly resources. A lot of the state universities have sort of either educational or some type of outreach that will help with that. There are certainly, you know, you may have a local attorney, a local CPA that's well-versed in that. Or if it's more the succession, the touchy-feely stuff that CPAs typically don't like to do, you know, there are certainly consultants out there that will help with that type of stuff. I think if somebody's interested in that, they can certainly reach out to me and I could give them some recommendations.
All right. Well, Paul, is there anything else you want to let folks know this time around?
Well, it's getting, well, the good thing is it's, as we tape this, it's April 3rd. We got 12 days to go before April 15th is done, but I'm going golfing with my son tomorrow. So I don't care what day it is, I'm going golfing. So that's the important thing.
That sounds like a wonderful way to spend tax season, or just any given day that ends in Y. So
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Thank you very much for joining us and talking with Paul Meek. For Paul, if folks wanted to get in touch with you, had any questions, how could they do so?
Yeah, you know, I have a blog called farmcpareport.com. So farmcpareport.com. I started that a little bit more than a year ago. It is subscription-based, but I do have a fair amount of free stuff on there too. Or they can reach me via email, farmcpa@outlook.com. And I'm pretty easy to get a hold of.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. Again, talking with Paul Meek for that website one more time, farmcpareport.com. He's been joining us for this week's Digging In with the Missouri Farm Bureau.